Welcome to the Rutledge Perspective Podcast. I'm your host, Laurel Rutledge, your Chief Navigation Officer. I started this podcast because I wanted to talk to you about the things that aren't said about leadership and business, about what happens when you make plans but also make room for the unexpected, about the power of aligning your words with your actions. And I started it because I believe in the power of you. So if you're looking for a place that will challenge your perspectives while lifting you up, welcome. If you're looking for a place where facts and the truth still matter, welcome. If you're looking for a place where the host isn't afraid of calling out her own issues, not just yours, welcome. If you're looking for a place to just be, welcome. I thank you for being here, and I look forward to getting to know you. Welcome to the deep dive behind the scenes section of this special segment of the Rutledge Perspective podcast with Jennifer Campbell, the founder and CEO of Soul Star. And I'm going to have Jennifer reiterate to you, for those of you who may have caught the podcast episode, and for those of you just maybe tuning into the deep dive, I want her to reiterate to you the three things for her that kind of generate the idea of starting into a business. And then I'm going to talk to you about why that's important. So Jennifer, one, thank you for doing this deep dive, because this is going to be good. And you'll get her bio and everything. So, you know, don't worry about all the details. You'll get the bio. So tell people, you know, when we talked earlier, you're like, there are three things that kind of drive me when I think about a business. What were those three things?
Yeah. So what I noticed is I've been an entrepreneur for 11 years. And what I noticed is that I create business out of one of three things or combination of these three things. Mm-hmm. And those are a vision that I have for the world, or out of pain. So things that I experienced that were painful in my life. And somehow that converts into wanting to help other people overcome mm-hmm. a similar pain. Mm-hmm. And curiosity. Mm-hmm. And those are things like, oh, why is this happening the way it's happening? And could we do this differently? Or why is this not in the world? And how do we get it into the world? Yes. So vision, pain, and curiosity are the three things that, prompted me to start my businesses. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Because the reason I wanted to have Jennifer reiterate those three things to you is because in this segment, as we're talking to different entrepreneurs, and as you're hearing their stories, each of them has a business that is aligned with who they are, right? And they have a journey, and there's a reason they're doing what they're doing. But you'll see that each of them also has iterations to their business. And like for Jennifer, this is this next iteration of her business, but it has come out of and is now building upon things that she has learned in the previous businesses, right? So,
yeah,
you know, it is really, as I have been in entrepreneurship, so this is year seven for me, as I've been on this entrepreneurship journey and have watched other people do it, and especially with COVID and everybody's online, and there's been such a growth of entrepreneurship in recent years, there's this proliferation of, well, everybody's got a makeup line, or everybody's got a online yoga studio, or everybody's got, you know, a travel pack or a cleaning thing. Everybody's got a thing or a process. And you can tell when it is, well, I think this is the thing that's going to sell, so I'm going to do that, as opposed to, I really think I have a solution to something, or this is an impact I want to make. How do you help people or guide people who are saying, no, I really want to start a business? How do you take them through that process of understanding, one, it's a business, like it's work, but it also needs to really be something that really is, you know, are you trying to solve a problem? Are you trying to make an impact? What is the thing? Because it's not just about being the next influencer, because that's one in a million.
Yeah, well, when you ask me that, Laurel, what works for me is to really sit with a person and see, well, what do you want in life? Mm-hmm. And what is aligned with you? Because You know, people make businesses out of their hobbies. Yeah. And sometimes people are just so focused on just making a lot of money. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to make a lot of money.
Right.
Make loads of it.
Right.
But it's going to require from you as a business owner that you have the prolonged energy. You need to have stamina to be.
Yes.
It's like, it's almost like being an Olympian.
Yes.
It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Mm-hmm. And so in order to make sure that your business becomes and remains successful, you got to pick something that feeds you in some way.
Yes.
And if you don't mind starting the thing anew after 2 years, then you can pick anything. Mm-hmm. But most of us aren't wired that way.
Right.
So when you start a business, start it with something that feeds you. And for me, it's those three things, as I mentioned mm-hmm. earlier. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. actually, when you look at the really big entrepreneurs in the world, they started their businesses for profound reasons.
Yes.
And it seems very small, but it's actually mm-hmm. for profound reasons. They were either frustrated or like, why isn't this here in the world? Mm-hmm. Or wouldn't it be great? And those are the big visionaries and trailblazers
right.
who create
right.
something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And they can't imagine what they're creating yet because they don't know. It's not there
right?
yet. But they have right. this drive mm-hmm. of solving a problem. When you look at all the great inventors, mm-hmm. Like, for example, when Edison was trying to invent right. the light bulb.
Right.
It took him at least 10,000 tries to actually get to the light bulb as we right. know it today.
Yes.
And even the light bulb has evolved right now.
Right.
But he didn't give up. He was like, okay, now I know 9,999 yes. ways to not create a light bulb.
Right. Right.
And so I'm not saying you should go into light bulb business, but I'm saying you need to stick around long enough for the business to be successful, because eventually it will. And some people experience accelerated growth in the very first 2 years,
yes.
and others go at it for 10 years, and then all of a sudden they seem successful overnight.
Yes, yes.
But it's a seed that you plant, and you need to feed it, and you need to grow it. And it also depends on what market you're in, of course, mm-hmm. but it's not... having a business is not about, oh, let me just pick something because I know that right. it generates cash, or mm-hmm. that it's a thing that everybody does. Mm-hmm. Oh, everybody's in drop shipping now. Let me do that. Yeah. Or everybody is running web shops, or yes. everybody is doing this, or everybody's doing that. It's not about following what everybody is doing.
Right.
It's not a guarantee for success that it will work for you, your mm-hmm. business, mm-hmm. by doing mm-hmm. what everybody else is doing.
Right.
So, and also, and I learned the hard way, is that many gurus,
yes,
especially online business gurus, mm-hmm. tell you all kinds of strategies, but they leave out what is actually working for them.
Yes.
So, for example, when they say, okay, you need to do this and this marketing strategy, and then you'll get many clients. Or this is how you should set up your ads because they work for us.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. They have another market than you do. They have a different service than you do.
Yes.
And so copy paste does not necessarily work.
Right. Or they have a big old team that's doing it for them.
Oh, they have a big old
yourself.
Team.
Yes.
Or they have partnerships that work really yes. well for them.
Yes.
Like, I learned that when I started doing these online summits. Mm-hmm. I bought a course about online summits, and it was a really good course. Mm-hmm. But I was terrified because I had to get speakers.
Yes.
And I was like, how do I get speakers? And they had all these different examples on how you could do it. But I was terrified.
Yes.
And I even had my business coach say, it's really easy. You have all the names here. You have your contact details here. You start at the top and you go all the way through the list until you've either called or emailed all of them. Mm-hmm. And the list just sat there for 6 weeks. I was absolutely terrified.
Yes.
And I couldn't do it. And I thought, okay, so no speakers, no summit. How am I going to do this now?
Right.
But how are the speakers going to respond? They don't know me. Who's this woman from who has an American sounding name, but lives in the Netherlands, who's Dutch and she wants something. And it didn't work for me. Yeah. And then I did what worked for me, which is the vision. So what I did was create a little video. Mm-hmm. In which I shared my vision and it started grand because that's the kind of person I am. I do things, I go big or I go home.
So
imagine this, the video starts with, you're opening a video and it starts with a person you don't know. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, let's look at the current status of leadership on this planet. Yeah. That was the first sentence. And so I shared my vision about that we no longer need ego-based leadership. We don't need control-based leadership. We need leadership that's much more inclusive and holistic and more sustainable so that we are able to tackle all the complex problems that we're facing right now along those lines. And then I just invited them. I said, okay, I'm going to organize an event where we're going to help people to shape leadership in a systemic way, in a different way. And I need you to pull it off. Well, along those lines, I used different words, but that was the bottom line.
Right.
And it still took me ages to make a very personalized email to tune into a person and send a link to this video. Mm-hmm. It was 3.5 minute video. Mm-hmm. And to my surprise and shock, everybody said yes.
Yes.
And these are world speakers. I mean, Peter Senge, Marshall Goldsmith. Those are Nora Bates and all these really big people who normally get humongous speaker fees.
Right.
Came to my event and sat down with me and had an interview for free.
Yeah.
And this is how it hit off for me. Mm-hmm. So... and my lesson was, a vision is bigger for me than me. A vision is bigger for me than my fear. And I was extremely terrified to contact all these people. But I'm not saying that you should be doing online summits. I'm not saying you should create a video. What I'm saying is, when you start a business, do it with what's in alignment with you. Approach it in a way that is not just about making the money, but something that you love doing, that you believe in, that you want to create something in the world, and that is going to fuel you in being in it for the long haul.
Right. I love that. I love that.
Yeah. So when you're working really hard and you're being... a very harsh boss to yourself and working 80 hours a week to get your business off the ground, then you still should still feel the joy and the flow because you're doing something that has meaning to you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, potential clients will catch up on that and pay you big bucks for it. Yes. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
That's my experience of how it works. And if you love teddy bears, love them to death and sell them.
Yes.
It's not necessarily that if it's not a big vision, that it doesn't mean anything. No.
Right.
But it's just, it's because you're feeling it. You're infusing it with it. You're the founder. You're the business owner. Right. And then your clients or customers are going to come to you. So.
Right. Well, and what you said is important too. And it's funny that you talk about video because I was doing a course as well. And on this whole, and we talked earlier in the thing about sales versus service, because that the last frontier for me is sales, because that one, the whole introvert thing, but just that whole sleazy, snake oily people in my LinkedIn DMs. Oh my gosh, your profile was so great. I just had to endorse you. How do you get your leads? Right. I'm like, really? Like, I don't recognize that as a sales technique. Come on. Right. But I know enough about me to realize that that technique, what that did, what I allowed that to do for me, how it manifested for me was in doing nothing. Doing nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm so blessed. I have really great clients. But if I'm going to grow the business, I have to actually go get more, right? I have to go get more clients. You do. And so so what I found was that whole sales thing, it was just a really real block for me. But in taking some of these courses, finding these people who are really building these really big businesses and being a learner, I love to learn. I love doing new things and learning from people who really know what they're doing is, yes, those techniques make sense because they work for these people.
Yeah.
And we're all individuals. So it didn't matter how much better the technique felt from whoever, right? That it didn't feel sleazy. Mm-hmm. It was much more personal. It was much more about connection. There were still things about the technique that didn't feel in integrity for me. But as you said, right, you have to do the deep work. Is it that it didn't feel in integrity for me, or was that still butting up against fear, desire, whatever the thing is, right? And you got to be honest with yourself. You can only do that deep work. And I realized, you know what? It's still, no, it really was out of integrity for me. But when I turned the word sales into service, that worked for me.
Yeah.
So every connection I make with someone, every person I meet, there's an opportunity to serve. Now, my service has a price.
Yes, right? It does.
But it's service. It's not sales, because if there's no opportunity to serve, then we don't even talk about that. Right. And it's interesting. Once you kind of made that flip, I actually had someone come to me and say, if you had an offer for me today, I'd write a check. I'm like, what? I mean, the same thing. Wasn't even thinking about it. Wasn't even talking about it. It just happened because it was so here's what I believe about the impact that I am looking to make with people. Here are the things that we're talking about. You know, here are the things that we're doing. And this was another entrepreneur. So I'm thinking we're just having a conversation about entrepreneurship and what our different businesses are doing. So, you know, so when you're able to listen, right, and have that time to really think about what you're doing, it makes an impact. So how do you guide people? And maybe it's through Soulstar, right? How do you guide people in taking the time, because that sense of urgency will make us just do something, just start throwing spaghetti against the wall. Yeah. How do you encourage and guide people to go slow, to go fast, right? Take the time to evaluate and learn and figure out what it is, whatever the thing is.
Yeah. So I think that has to do with having an outlook on what you want in life. And without it becoming that big philosophical question, it's more about, I saw something not too long ago, and it's part of how I also work with clients now, is that when you look at what do I want, or what does inspire me, or what is it that I truly want to do, then rather than trying to answer questions like what would make my business unique, or what are the unique selling points, or all of that stuff, look at you and look back on your life and think, oh, what is the core for me? Who have I always been? What are things that I naturally do? And for most people, it elicits a smile on their face, because they think back of the things they loved when they were a child, and when success wasn't the big driver for people just yet. So when they were not part of the rat race yet, when they were not about, okay, I need to make money today thing. But when they were in their own natural flow.
Yes.
And And look there. Yes. Look there at what are the things that I naturally do that could be of service to others.
Yes.
And then let yourself inform yourself on what you would then love to make a business out of. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how, you know, as you think about this shift, I was about to say this last shift, but I don't think this is by far going to be your last shift. this most recent shift, right? How did you know, right? I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but how did you know and then give yourself permission to really shift into this thing that it's almost hard to explain, because on the one hand, so many people are doing rest and mindset, and they're doing all the woo-woo.
Yeah.
But that's not how you talk about it, Jennifer.
No, I'm not doing woo-woo.
You're not doing woo-woo. So
I'm not doing woo-woo.
How did you, when you think about, you know, Soul Star and that whole idea of having a business and a life that brings you this joy and is aligned with who you are, right?
Yeah.
How did you give yourself permission to move from something that was very, in the beginning, you're talking change and systemic change, then you're doing, you know, masterminds and summits around, but it's still change, very corporate, into this thing that is not corporate at all, but has little C corporate, because there's processes and there's, you know, there's things around it. How did you give yourself permission to be much more almost esoteric and just, no, this is how it's supposed to be and how it's supposed to feel and how it's supposed to manifest for you, you know?
Yeah. Thank you for that question, because I'm immediately like, how did I do that? And the funny thing is, Laurel, is that when it comes to personal development and the esoteric, that is something that I have been doing since I was 14. And I've always been into personal development. And besides a very successful career and now business, I have always done things that I love.
Yes.
And I've always found time to do them. And for me, that sometimes meant working 5 days a week, and then day six, I would devote to music the whole day. I would be in music school on either Saturday or Sunday, depending on what school I was in.
Right.
Or doing a music project. Or so when I started earlier as a teenager, I wasn't doing the typical things that many teenagers do. Part of it has to do with my upbringing, which was very strict.
Absolutely.
But God bless my parents, because they did the best they could, because they wanted me to have the best of the best.
Absolutely.
And reading books was allowed, so I read many of them. And I was all in the whole New Age scene also. So I read books like Wayne Dyer and Louise Hay and all these other Tony Robbins, all these I read at a very early age. And one of the intrinsic things in me was, how do I create a life that I love, where I do things that I love doing and accomplish goals in all kinds of different areas of my life? And I did all kinds of experiments with it and try to accomplish something, use all kinds of techniques. So I guess that what some people would call woo-woo or more the esoteric had always been part of my life, but never part of my profession or my business. So even the systemic realm started out early. And it started in the personal sense to try to understand my family system and the complexity of my family system and the complexity of being Black in a white society and mm-hmm. and dealing with being marginalized and racism and all these different things.
Yes.
I encountered all of that when I was young. So I tried to fit in, but in many cases, I did not. Mm-hmm. Even though I wanted to belong or felt like I belong, or it was a normal thing to belong, I wasn't always included.
Right.
And so this sent me off into understanding, why am I not included? And is mm-hmm. something wrong with me? No, there's nothing wrong with me. Right. And the context is always stronger than the individual. So how do I deal with that? Mm-hmm. I think that many people who are listening and watching, is if you're in the corporate space, you may have experienced that you got kicked out all of a sudden. Oh, I'm at the top of my game. I'm doing the best thing. And then all of a sudden,
yes,
I get kicked out of the organization. And this is a systemic dynamic that when yes. you are making too much of a difference,
mm-hmm.
Which we usually think is a good thing, mm-hmm. but when you make too much difference compared to everybody else, the yes. system kicks you out.
Yes.
And I learned the hard way in all those different patterns. I learned the hard way, but it helped me in a personal and a professional sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the last few years, I'm noticing that all the experiences I've had, also the personal ones,
mm-hmm.
have led me exactly to work with women in business.
Yeah.
Who have experienced what I have experienced.
Yes.
And it puts me in a place where I can serve them best.
Yes.
Because I understand.
Yes.
And so, and I think that's how that went.
Mm-hmm.
I love the esoteric. It started early. I was, yes. in that sense, the odd one out. I wasn't into boys. I was into books.
Yes.
And the same shelves here. Were this yeah. this small. There yeah. were like three or four esoteric books in the old yeah. bookstore. And when I got an American boyfriend through, he was my pen pal, and mm-hmm. then we started connecting on a deeper mm-hmm. level when the internet mm-hmm. sort of emerged. And when I would visit him in the U.S. I couldn't wait to get to the Barnes & Noble
right.
just to have a big bookshelf of esoteric books and self-help
That's
books
awesome.
And things to enhance your life, because
yes.
And I still have all those books. I have mm-hmm. so many books that I read and I just, what's it called? Devoured.
Yes.
I was so hungry for... Mm-hmm. How do you create a happy life? How do you do yes. that? Not that I was intrinsically unhappy, but
right.
I just had a zest for that. Mm-hmm. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's how that all just came together with the personal experiences and the professional experiences, and how that all comes yes. together in Soul Star. And so I don't mind doing woo-woo things.
Yeah.
I've also been to a school where I learned about shamanism and all yes. those things.
Yes.
I never tell my clients, but shamanism and the systemic
yeah.
Sound of very different worlds, but they actually very similar. You just yes. use different
words,
jargon, different yes. words, different approaches. And yeah. the systemic is very cerebral
mm-hmm.
and very intellectual
mm-hmm.
and shamanism mm-hmm. is very energetic and
right.
Earthy and nature mm-hmm. and all that stuff, but also yes. spiritual. So but it's just, for me, it's just all one big blend.
Yeah.
And depending on the context I work in, I just take that out of my backpack and just
yes.
use it and apply it.
And I think that's what that piece there, I don't want anyone who's listening or watching to gloss over, is that there are so many tools in Jennifer's toolbox. And she has spent so much time really knowing who she is and truly being aligned. People laugh at me because my whole framework is alignment, vision, action. It's pretty easy, right? You have to be aligned first. There's a whole reason my logo is a tree, right? There's a whole story behind that. But it's alignment, and then you create the vision, and then you move into empowered action. It's pretty simple. Whether you're creating, you know, a career or a business, it's all the same thing, right? And if you listen to Jennifer, everything she talks about, right, goes back to that. What is she trying to create, and how is she helping others create that? And by her being totally aligned with who she is able to pull what she needs from who she is to serve those people who are coming to her needing a solution, right, to either their vision or their pain or their curiosity, right? And so I think, Jennifer, what was so powerful, even the first time we had a conversation, to, at least to me, what was so powerful was there's such, I heard such clarity in what you were saying. So yes, you know, earlier you told us about, Soul Star, I was just talking about it and then it just happened. And that happens to me too, right? You're just talking about something. Other people are like, yeah, that's really good. And it's like, well, what did I say? Right? I don't remember what exactly I said. But there's such-
Did someone hit such, record?
Can, yes, can you? Right? Can you repeat that for me? But I think there's such clarity in it because it is so 100% aligned with truly not only who you are, but what you believe is necessary and the impact that you want to make. And so when you talk to your clients and you're really encouraging them, right, to move into whatever it is they want, right? How, as we kind of leave this deep dive piece, what is a word of encouragement that you would give someone who may be going down that rabbit hole of, you know, well, the website and the lead magnet and the candle boxes and the, I got to have a label and a logo and a, you know, but they said I have to do 42 posts a day. I mean, how do you help them go down the road of just stop? Stop. What is it that you want to do, right? How do you kind of give them permission to just pause before they move?
Yeah. And I love that. Thank you for that question. I love that. Actually, it's about them giving themselves permission to pause.
I love that.
And giving yourself permission to pause starts with baby steps. And the baby step that I usually suggest for people is to take your phone, go to the timer app, set it for 3 or 5 minutes, put the phone down, and then sit.
Ooh, that's good.
Just sit. And many of us are will notice that there's a lot racing around in our heads.
Yes.
And so, Jennifer, I don't know how to meditate. That's what some people then say. And I said, I didn't ask you to meditate. Don't meditate because you can't stop your thoughts. And for some people, it's more of a race court than anything else.
Right.
So I'm not going to ask you to stop that, but just get into the practice of sitting for 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you're too much distracted by all the thoughts in your head, try to observe what's going on in your body. So when you're sitting, oh, is my foot painful? Oh, there's a little tingle here. I feel pressure in my head. Just notice what's going on in your body. And when you grow a habit of sitting with yourself, for everybody has 5 minutes a day.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't tell me that you don't.
Right.
Unless you're running a summit on your own.
Right. Right.
Then you need your mom there to.
Right.
Yeah, but I've got kids. When the kids are to bed or when they're not up yet in the morning.
Yes.
So then you'll have to get up really early.
Right.
You know that because kids are early birds. But
yes.
or even at work. Go find an empty office or mm-hmm. but sit for just yes. a couple of minutes and mm-hmm. tune in every day. And I'm not going to put restrictions on it, like do it at right. the same time every day and all right. that stuff. But although that does help, but mm-hmm. If you're starting out, do that. Mm-hmm. And at some point, the chatter and all the thoughts in your mind will quiet. And then you'll be able to tap into the deeper layers of you.
Yeah.
And you'll start hearing.
Yes.
You'll start feeling. The thoughts that pop up will be different. And then yes. all of a sudden you will get to the things that are more in alignment with you. And things will bubble up like, oh, I actually need this. Oh, I actually love this. Mm-hmm. And all yeah. the outer wanting in terms of shiny object syndrome and wanting to do all the flashy marketing things mm-hmm. will be gone for those minutes that you sit with yourself.
Yes. I love that.
And that's all. And then all of a sudden you'll have more space to focus on what's in alignment. And then also differentiate, another thing that's very important is differentiate between you and your business. Mm. Mm. This was a big one for me. I found that very difficult because yes. I called my business Jennifer Campbell.
yeah.
My first business, my change yes. business. Mm-hmm. And because now I have Soul Star. I have two businesses now, and with mm-hmm. Soul Star, I'm noticing, and I have been from the get-go, this is not a one-woman show, this mm-hmm. company.
Yes.
I'm going to be having a team. I'm going to have stellar coaches and mentors to work in Soul Star. Once mm-hmm. it's big enough to cater for, and when we have more clients. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for now, it's me. I'm its mama.
Yeah.
I founded yes. it. But I need to give this business what it needs to grow.
Yes.
And so those two things, to sit with yourself and to calibrate with yourself, align with yourself and feel mm-hmm. what is my vision? What is my in alignment with me? Right. What is my curiosity? What is the main focus for this business?
Yes.
Then you'll find it. And not by wanting to force yourself through all kinds of methods, mm-hmm. but to sit, to quiet down and let it come to you. And the other thing is there's a difference between you and your business. It's not the yes. same. Business is an entity. Mm-hmm. You are a person. And that's not the same.
That's so good. That's so good. Especially for those of us, because I'm the same way. My business is my name, right? I am the brand. Yeah. And it is difficult yeah. to separate yourself when that's the case, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's so good. That is so good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See, I knew this
was. Oh, I have one more suggestion.
Oh, yes.
Would you like one more?
Absolutely.
One more is in this. I learned this from a friend with whom I did a strategy day for Soul Star. Mm-hmm. And we sat down and then she said, the other day I saw something so profound. Let's do that also with Soul Star. And mm-hmm. I said, well, what is it?
Yeah.
And she said, I met a company that created its own 100-year vision.
Mm.
I said, 100-year vision.
Interesting.
And that's what I said. Oh, that's interesting. And I was so curious. So I said, well, yeah, let's do this. And because normally we look at 1 year or 5 year or, mm-hmm. and many people struggle with 3 or 5 years.
Yes.
And go, well, I want to know what I'm going to make in a couple of months.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But let me just tell you what this did for me. I did the 100-year vision mm-hmm. for Soul Star, mm-hmm. which means this company is going to be alive and well When I'm gone.
When you're gone.
Because yes. The likelihood of me living another 100 years is teeny, teeny, tiny little, right. Very small.
Right.
So, but all of a sudden, I was like, okay, if Soulstar lives at least another 100 years, mm-hmm. then what is it actually contributing to? Mm. What is its purpose, yes. then really? And you get to very big things when a company lives, yes. that long. I mean, I don't, yes. know if Steve Jobs did this, but I do know that part of their vision or their why, mm-hmm. is to put a zing in the universe. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. Steve Jobs is gone, but the, yes. the Apple didn't get that big just for nothing. So many, no. people believe in the big vision.
Yes.
And it carries on beyond the founder's life, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, and this is what I want for Soulstar.
Yes. Yes.
I want to contribute to humanity through Soulstar, mm-hmm. so that we have generations of people, specifically women, specifically, yes. Black women, women of, yeah. color, who have a business to really take good care of themselves.
Yes.
So that their businesses and their visions can thrive, yes. and do not perish because they lost their hum and they stopped their business because, yeah. they're burned out and they're not fulfilled in their lives. Mm-hmm. Right? So... Ugh. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, wow, that's all Soulstar is going to do.
Yeah.
And you know what that did for me? I thought, this means that I got to be a really great CEO for Soulstar.
Yes. Yes.
Because it's bigger than me. It's not just, yes. about me and about how much revenue I want to make. Mm-hmm. And it's a legitimate thing that I want to do.
Yes. Yes.
But Soulstar is more about that. I, absolutely. Need to make revenue in order for Soulstar to live up to its purpose.
Yes.
And that it can continue to serve all these clients, mm. all these women with their businesses, women entrepreneurs, when I am long gone. Wow. Right?
Yes. That's great.
It's such, all of a sudden I'm like, yeah. wow, I get to be,
yeah.
be at the beginning, at the baby time of Soulstar. Yes. But all, that's of a sudden, deep. It's going to be a grown business, and, yes. it's going to do its own thing, and other people are going to take it, yes. further. And it's,
yes.
That is such an amazing thing. Such, yes. an amazing thing. And I think that this is, not all moms, but I think that many moms feel this also. Oh, I have this baby now.
Right.
And I'm growing it to be, oh, wait a minute. They're 18.
Right. Yes.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yes.
Look what they're doing in the world.
Yes.
And for businesses, being not just a founder, but also a CEO, mm-hmm. that's what that means.
Yeah.
Isn't that, yes. amazing?
That's amazing. I'm like blown away, honestly, because that is such a different, not only is it a different mindset, right? But there's freedom in that mindset.
Yeah.
There's so much freedom there in that is. Mindset too. It's almost like that, what you think would make it harder, mm-hmm. think about 100-year plan, because you're right. People get all jacked up about 3 years, 5 years. What? Right. If you think about 100 years, it's like, no, yes, I need to pay attention for 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, because it's got to be a going concern. But if, yeah. I'm thinking 100 years, what I'm thinking about is foundation. I'm thinking preparation. I'm thinking, yeah. about making something so solid, yeah. that someone can take it to the next level. That's a whole different level of freedom than,
yeah, yeah.
I've got to build this thing just for me right now.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah. So instead, yeah. of your business just being a vehicle about making money.
Yeah.
It's also a vehicle to serve a purpose.
Yes.
And it can be as philosophical or as blunt as whatever, but that is what you envision for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why some entrepreneurs are so inspiring. Some entrepreneurs have hundreds of businesses.
Right.
And they all fall under one, usually under one big umbrella.
Right.
But there's all these different businesses that serve a part of that big umbrella. And I love how you just said that it gives freedom. It does because the role of the CEO at some point need not be me.
Right.
It can be me, but I may decide at some point that someone else is going to be a better CEO than me for Soulstar.
Right.
Right. And that's where the whole purpose of Soulstar, when it comes to creating a fulfilling life, it also creates fulfillment for me. If I feel, okay, I've given it my all. Now it's for someone else to be its CEO. I'll always be the founder.
Absolutely.
It's better for Soulstar to have a different CEO.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be in this part of the company now.
Right.
Or I'm going to make sure that there's a very good team and then step back.
Yes. Yes.
That is also an option.
Yes.
Right?
Become the chairman of the board. Chairman emeritus or something.
Yes. And then
it
just creates an entire different perspective.
Yes.
Both for the business and for me as to what roles do I fulfill. Because many of us are not good at all the roles that your business needs.
Right.
And it may also apply to the CEO role.
Yes.
So
yes.
That
was so good. Those three, that's so good. So good. Just that was a PhD in entrepreneurship right there. Right there. Right there. Jennifer, thank you. Thank you for this deep dive. That's why I wanted to do this in these segments, is to really have that deeper conversation about this journey and those things that in a safe space where we could consider some of the deeper questions, right? And really have some deeper answer to those. So thank you for allowing me to ask those deeper questions and for being so open and honest with those and giving us such great insight. I so appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you for this conversation. I also truly enjoyed it. And thank you for your questions.
Yes.
Because I find myself articulating things I haven't articulated before like this. So thank you so much for the opportunity to exchange ideas.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
This was wonderful. This was wonderful. And so for those of you who are catching this deep dive, we are going to continue to have these segments going forward, and stay tuned and pay attention to all of the socials and laurelrutledge.com and all of the things. And you will see our next announcement for the next deep dive with an entrepreneur on the Rutledge Perspective podcast. Take care, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Rutledge Perspective podcast. I hope this little podcast gave you a little bit of insight and gave you some information that you can take and use as you go forward. Please do me a favor and go out to your favorite podcast platform, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and give us a 5-star rating and a review. That just helps to get the podcast out to more people so we can make a bigger impact. And if there's a topic you'd like me to cover, shoot me a DM. You can connect with me on my website, laurelrutledge.com. As always, I appreciate your tuning in, because I know you have a choice. Hope to see you again on another episode.